Jema. So, Shobindu is describing the overmind in great detail. This is where we see the Maya which begins to separate things. There can be no actual separation, but it's the seeming separation, and it's important because each has to develop along its own lines. As we said, that each power, each possibility, each aspect has to create its own world. So you have Krishna world where everybody is happy, dancing, beauty, sweetness, all that is there. But Shiva world, barren, absolutely you have to live on snow. You don't have, and now you see, as the devotees coming down out of Shiva, many sects will come into existence. And then the devotees will go to one extreme and the Krishna devotees will go into another extreme. So that's because this is how the overmind is the birthplace originally of the religions, one of the overmind god. But yes, the person who receives the overmind inspiration, maybe at higher mind or illumined mind, and then from there he transmits it to others. So this is what Sri Aurobindo is revealing to us on page 298. Page 298. If we would understand the difference of this global overmind consciousness from our separative and only imperfectly synthetic mental consciousness, we may come near to it if we compare the strictly mental with what would be an overmental view of activities in our material universe. To the overmind, for example, all religions would be true as developments of the one eternal religion. You'll see them all, like Sri Aurobindo speaks about Islam taking the force aspect, Christianity taking the love aspect, and then he says only love or only force cannot, you know, create the perfect world. And then each of the religions which picks up one side of the reality and modifies it based on the person who receives it. Down below, they become exclusive. But to the overmind view, they are all coming down from Sanatan Dharma, from the one eternal religion. From the one eternal religion. All philosophies would be valid, each in its own field, as a statement of its own universe view from its own angle. All political theories with their practice would be the legitimate working out of an idea force with its right to application and practical development in the play of the energies of nature. And that's why, say, one group feels, oh, this is so horrible, this should go, why is God tolerating it? But it has to be allowed its full scope and freedom. That's seen in the occult vision of the supermind. It has to be allowed its term, its time, its space, its domination. And then it goes through, reaches a point where it yields its hidden truth. So for example, people who are prepared through communism, they may, you know, let's say when they come to ashram and if they are open, they will say, oh, this is so nice. There is no distinction between rich and poor. They can all eat together, sitting on the same table in the dining room. There have been people with a communist background who have come here. Now what happens? There is a truth inside which yields itself. But those who come, I'm talking of now left side ideology. Those who come from the right side ideology, they will say, oh, it is so nice. There is on every, Durga Puja, there is the mother's chair which is arranged. On every Saraswati Puja, we have the mother's chair. There is devotion, there is worship. Because now they are, their truth inside is released, and slowly that external worship changes into internal without cancelling the outer. So we see that extreme different tendencies which will come here. We'll see here another very interesting combination of political theory. Democracy. A perfect example of democracy where everybody has freedom to an extent which is sometimes like unimaginable freedom. So this is democracy. But you may use your freedom any which way. Ultimately, the Divine Mother is pushing everything in a way that toward the great unfolding. So somebody in front of the mother, use this word, the divine seems to be quite a dictator, because everybody was going to mother to take orders, and you know, she would say how to do things, and people were feeling a little annoyed that somebody would make this statement. Mother said, asked everybody to stay quiet. Then after a moment, she said, yes, a benevolent dictator. She changed the whole thing. So you will see both fused together, blended together. So later on, they become very different. But one has to understand that in the overmind consciousness, they are seen as different aspects of one reality. So one has to pick up. For instance, in one of the places, Sri Aurobindo says in Synthesis of Yoga, or one of the aphorisms, he speaks about what we have to pick up from different religions. So there is something he speaks about. We have to pick up the zealot of the Mohammedan. Now you see, even in plane, 5 o'clock, face Mecca, start your prayer. Now that's a bit too much, of course, inconveniencing. But that's the zealot with which they do it. That's their strength that gives them the force, the power. Fidelity which is beyond, no questioning, nothing. Our God has said it, we'll do it, end of the story. You may say it is right or wrong, but the zealot part, but of course the fanaticism. And so this is how you will see a truth which is supported by something in the overmind. So this is how he says that all religions will appear like that. All political theories will appear as legitimate. An overmental intelligence would, few lines below, refuse to entertain this conception or this drift to exclusiveness. For a moment, it would allow all to live as necessary to the whole, or put each in its place in the whole, or assign to each its field of realization or of endeavor. This is the whole problem, in a way he has resolved, that you have to see them in their place, time and space context. The religions that had a time and a space, when they begin to shift out of their space, and when they are dated, it's like an expired medicine. Ultimately, mankind will go beyond religions. It's understood. At some point, it will go. It is already going. So there are religions which each form a kind of hierarchy of structures, space and time. And then there comes a point where man goes beyond religions. How? Because the truth of religion releases itself. It was cased in a case of ignorance, and then it releases itself. And that is the spiritual core. And the spiritual core derives itself from the supramental truth. So that's how we see why Auroville is what it is. So page 299. And still we can recognize at once in the overmind the original cosmic Maya, not a Maya of ignorance, but a Maya of knowledge, yet a power which has made the ignorance possible, even inevitable. So there are these two terms we have already spoken about, Vidyamayi, Maya of knowledge, and Avidyamayi, Maya of ignorance. So when the Isha Upanishad Rishi says, he says, those who worship only Vidya, go after Vidya alone. Those who go after Avidya alone, they fall into a darkness. Those who are Rata in Vidya alone, oneness, they go into a greater blindness. So what does it advise? Very interestingly, because both are two different movements of one reality. At the overmind, one can see that. So he says, Vidyancha Vidyancha Yasta Dvedo Bhayam Saha. Avidyam Mrityum Tirtva Vidyam Amritam Asnute. So by avidya they cross over death, and by vidya they gain immortality. So there is a reason why ignorance is there. And there is a very interesting story how a group of people came, they wanted to know something about yoga. Some people from abroad, forgetting the place. So mother called was Ambubhai. Ambubhai, you'll see his photographs, no? The asanas with his long flowing hairs. If somebody saw him from behind, they would make all kinds of guests with his langoti. So Ambu Bhai was not like a speaker or things like that. Mother has said, so he went and spoke. Then he came back and said, Mother, why did you send me? You could have called Amal Kiran. Now you see, normally one would think, oh, Mother would have thought probably Amal Kiran, Nalnida and all these people, but you know, they must be busy, she must be knowing, or she probably immediately felt that Ambu Bhai was nearby. And so he asked Mother, why you send me? So she says, I know. He said, I am ignorant. He says, I know. But what they required was only this much, that you would tell them. If Amal Kiran would have gone, he would have told so much more that they would have been totally lost in that. So just imagine how the Divine Mother's way of, I know. She said, I know. You. I am not doubting the statement that Amal Kiran would have been a much better person to explain all this, but I had to use your ignorance. So see, the divine uses everything, both cosmic truth and cosmic ignorance. So cosmic consciousness has this double aspect. There is the cosmic truth, where all the truths of the supermind are there, which have to manifest itself in the course of time. Now of course a new thing has been introduced, the new consciousness. And the cosmic ignorance, which is as if forgetful of it. But even cosmic ignorance is in contact with cosmic truth. It knows. But it has to unfold. This is very interesting. In Treta Yuga, when it is going to end, so Lord Ram has to now depart. So who goes and informs him that, sir, time has come. Somebody has to inform him. So there is, it's not Yama who goes. Normally we think Yama will go. But Kala Purush, he goes. Kala Purush knows that the time has come. Yama is also performing the same truth as a duty. It's not that he is doing something wrong. So first Kala Purush goes and he informs. He just shows him that Trita is ending. And there is a very interesting aside about Lakshman entering into it. Very interesting. It's because Lakshman has to go earlier. So he says that Treta is ending. Basically comes to say, Lord, you know what? Now we are all waiting for you upstairs, including Sita Maiya. So he says, okay. Now the time actually comes. So this is, he is told sometime earlier. He shows the clock. So then the time comes. Now Yama comes into play. So Yama says, I can't go near the Lord and tell him, you do this work also. I'll be there, because ultimately it's a mechanism. Yama is there, shown just as a mechanism. Something has to happen, that probably, you know, the breathing has to stop, this physical mechanism, that I'll take care. But I can't go and inform him this. You have to do this same work. So you see, there is the cosmic truth. Time knows the cosmic truth. It knows when things will unfold. But the instrument of time, which has to take place and perform, it's also guided by time. So it is cosmic ignorance, yet connected with the cosmic truth. So this is what he reveals. So the two Maya. Maya of ignorance, but a Maya of knowledge. Yet a power which has made the ignorance possible, even inevitable. For if each principle loosed into action must follow its independent line and carry out its complete consequences, the principle of separation must also be allowed its complete course and arrive at its absolute consequence. This is the inevitable descent, facilis descensus, which consciousness, once it admits the separative principle, follows till it comes to obscuration, infinitesimal fragmentation, to chaina, into the material inconscience. This is the whole logic. Each aspect has to be allowed, and it has to develop. Very interesting. It has to develop. It's meant to develop in a certain way through the world of possibilities. Ultimately, it will harmonize, because behind is the real idea. Supermind is always there, driving it through strange incidents, event, circumstances towards the fulfillment of the real idea. So we have the story of Oedipus where he is, there is an oracle that he will kill his father and marry his mother. Now, this is very ugly thing. So the king calls his people and says, go and kill him. So they go. Now see how destiny is unfolding. He's a little baby, 4 or 5 years old. He doesn't know why, where I am going. So when they are going to kill him, they take pity on the child. So they say, but how to tell the king? He will ask for proof. So he has 6 fingers in the foot. So they cut one of the fingers and says, we'll show him that as a proof that we have killed him. But he's not killed. He is left there. Now as destiny would have it, he goes through the whole process, comes back to conquer. He doesn't know I am my father's son and has to cross the Theban desert where Sphinx is waiting to ask the question. And then he crosses the desert, kills his father, marries his mother, because that was the principle those days, whoever win. He didn't know that she is his mother. It's a very interesting mystic story. The same similar prophecy was about Paris, that he will bring the destruction of Troy. So he sends away Paris. So Paris says, all right. He is going on, you know, public money or the king's money, going around different places. Till he finally lands up with Helen of Melenos. Now he brings the destruction home. How things work. So that's the unfolding of destiny ultimately, because what has to happen, that's how it happens, because supermind will push things. And we may not understand it at that point of time. Much later when we look back, we understand the significance of each event. But when it is happening, overmind has the truth why it is happening. If you ask an overmind God, he will say, yes, this is the right thing, I will not intervene. There are instances where people go to Shiva or Vishnu. This is actually a story, very interesting. Okay. A poem whose name is Rakshasa. So there Ravan is destroying everything and everybody is praying. Then the 7 seers who are part of the governing board of the gods, they are, you know, they are seers who have risen, so they are the part of the governing council. So they and the gods go to Krishna and they ask Sri Krishna, when will this Atankwadi end? So he says, what do you say? He says, terrible, he must end. All the seers tell him he must end. He says, you know what? He has a truth. Therefore, he has ruled. But he has half the truth. Therefore, he will fall. Amazing story. So what is the truth that he knows? He knows Aham Brahmasmi. I am God. That has given him power. But he doesn't know that all is God. Therefore, he will fall. Okay. When will this happen? He says, see, it has taken 1,000,000 years to evolve the Asura out of the Rakshasa. You have to allow some time for the Asura to stabilize. When now man's consciousness is ready to be released out of the Vanara and the Asura himself. So till then he has to rule and govern. And that's why thus the whole poem ends when he Ravan invokes on the other side. He says, Krishna says this and laughs, and then on the other end Ravan prays and Kali appears, and Shobhinda describes Asuri. Why? Because at each plane you have an equivalent conception of the god, deity. So Kali, who is great goddess as she, Bhadra Kali, then becomes other forms, Rudra Kali or another, and then slowly she can become that Kali which is even the god, the Asuras pray and get. For instance, Meghnad was praying to one of the forms of Kali, which made him invincible. She was doing it, giving it to him. So that's how the whole hierarchy goes. So he prays and says, I want to be immortal, and this is no. You will fall, but I promise you, you will fall only to the human or the animal. So this is the whole story, makes sense that it is the that consciousness evolution. So that Ravana has to reign. He has to Like for instance, now we are going through an extreme activity of reason. Last 300 years, 400, 500 years actually started with Socrates. Not exactly Socrates, but he started the ball rolling. Plato picked it up. Then the age of reason came, and with Voltaire it became to full fruition in France, 1700 something, where he would say that I disagree with you, but I will fight for your right or freedom to speak. This is 300 years back. So when people tell me that, you know, everybody has the right to speak, I tell them you are 300 years behind, because that's age of reason is now dwindling. The age of intuition is coming up. But it was allowed all the time, and through which what happened? People who believed in God, etc., they were declared superstitious, they were put down. In India itself, you see, many of the mystics, they were poo-pooed upon. Oh, he is just a superstitious fellow. People had to take all this humiliation and shame. Now, why? Now, it was needed for reason to be established fully before the age of intuition can come. Otherwise, without this link in between, actually there was a danger of high mystic truths falling into infra-rational age. So the rational age intervenes and takes everything, prepares the human mind. Even now, see, the amount of people believe in every WhatsApp. WhatsApp, oh, it is truth. Every information on WhatsApp is truth. Anywhere, anything. The interesting part is even fact-checking is not truth. That is the left ideology. They have started a fact checker. So even fact checking is not true. That's the interesting part. How it is being manipulated. Now reason is beginning to understand a higher reason, this play, and it's getting sick and tired of this. So there is from the rational world a group of people who feel, no, no. Reason has limits. It can't know the ultimate truth. So either they have a choice between agnosticism or a higher kind of life. So we will see increasingly people becoming atheists and agnostics in the coming age. People get very worked up about it. No, it's part of the plan. They have to discard the old religious approach. And then they will wake up to a deeper, higher reality. So when we look at it like this, all is pakka. You know, indeed God is great. So, page 300. Our mind in its descent reaches a line which divides the cosmic truth from the cosmic ignorance. It is the line at which it becomes possible for consciousness force, emphasizing the separateness of each independent movement created by our mind and hiding or darkening their unity, to divide mind by an exclusive concentration from the overmental source. And that's why people couldn't understand and still don't understand the mother's actions and ways. To one person, she would say one way, and another person another way. For example, there are letters where somebody asked Sri Aurobindo, I believe mother is now emphasizing so much on playground that if you don't go to playground, you won't get the supramental consciousness. And Sri Aurobindo says, doesn't give only his example, which can be taken as a intuitive humor. He says, Champaklal doesn't go to playground. There were people who don't go to playground. He says, but why did you get this notion? When the mother worked in playground, she poured so much into it. But equally, she poured so much into all the other departments. So this was how the divine operates. And wherever she would go, they would think, okay, this is, I am the most favorite. Every child of mother would feel, I am the most favorite. I am the greatest. But then you ask for her, all her children are equal, even the Rakshasas and Asuras and Pishachas. My God, are her children. So partiality she has none. So this is the way her actions, even today, so difficult to understand. When somebody went out, started collecting money in the name of Sri Aurobindo. So people gave money. And then he swindled all the money and went away. People asked Sri Aurobindo, what happened? He said, why did you give the money? He said, you used to give him long interviews, 45 minutes. I believe he would sit and you gave interviews. So we took it that he is very near to you. Then Sri Aurobindo says, you draw conclusions based on this. And he says something very interesting. Some of those who are very close to me are great asuras. Now this letter went out. It's there in print in Nalinidas' works. So the disciple says, sir, if you write like this, nobody will give now any money. Because anybody goes to ask. Nobody will understand conversion of the asura. That's too deep. Now you see the Lord's play. But our mind cannot understand like that. Each of our children felt they are special. The difference was some took it into their head and others did not. This is the only difference. Some understood it's not me, it's her. Some felt it's me. And wherever one felt it's me, there was a problem. It bars the way. So this is how cosmic truth and cosmic ignorance works. And then finally separateness. And ignorance comes in few lines below. Mind separated acts as if it were an independent principle, and each mental being, each basic mental idea, power, force, stands similarly on its separate self. If it communicates or combines with or contacts others, it is not with the Catholic universality of the overmind movement. In our mind, one another, but it communicates. A Vaishnava goes to Shaivite. Ah, Sanatana Dharma. Deep inside, but Vishnu is ultimate. So, Shaivite says, what do these guys know? They are just dancing, jumping, chanting name. You have to do bhavutang me laga ki, you have to renounce, you have to go barefoot. Then you will get God, moksha. They are not adhikaris of moksha. But they will meet Sanatana Dharma. Jairam ji ki. So this is the interesting part. Of course in religion you can see it in the extreme. Because then at the mental level it becomes very different. So even when it meets, it doesn't meet with the Catholicity of the overmind. It meets with the mental idea. And it tries to combine, like, you know, inter-religious, interfaith dialogues. All of them will speak. At the end, the Maulana will go and say, Achha bola na, convert honge na, people will get converted. I proved my point. The priest will say, so I think many will, I'll win adherence to Christ. And Krishna person will say, you know what, now you see, we'll have an increase in the number of people turning to Krishna. So you have gone for an interfaith dialogue where you are meant to create harmony. But there also you are counting your numbers. Because this is how the overmind, the lower down, not at the overmind level, but the lower down, that is how it operates. So it cannot be done in these ways. And then of course, we go toward the end, which is about then how out of ignorance falsehood comes into play. 301. But when by an exclusive concentration on force and form, consciousness force seems phenomenally to separate consciousness from force, or when it absorbs consciousness in a blind sleep lost in form and force, then consciousness has to struggle back to itself by a fragmentary evolution which necessitates error and makes falsehood inevitable. Because now it is completely absorbed. There is either consciousness or force. So we see in matter extreme, there is force. Can't deny. In matter, there is force, teeming with tremendous force. There is no consciousness. So consciousness will gradually escape because Shakti is there everywhere. She is creating. So there comes the origin of error. How error comes? So the children of force come out, but who don't have consciousness. So what do they do? Now imagine. Force without consciousness. It's a disintegrating power. Tamogun pradhan. It's a power of destruction. Nevertheless, these things too are not illusions that have sprung out of an original non-existence. They are, we might say, the unavoidable truths of a world born out of ignorance. So one has to understand, there is evil has a reality, temporary reality, but a reality. Falsehood has its own reality. There are children of darkness, the children of falsehood. And we can't say all this is illusion. there is a reason why they have come into existence, that we can say. There is a term and a time, but they are not illusions, they are truths, but partial truths. Truths which are allowed for a moment, or at least supported by a certain truth. A pure experience of truth, knowledge, delight, imperishable existence would here be itself a contradiction. So this, of course, so few lines below. The natural possibilities of a world in which an original inconscience and a division of consciousness are the main principle would be the emergence of forces of darkness impelled to maintain the ignorance by which they live. An ignorant struggle to know originative of falsehood and error. An ignorant struggle to live engendering wrong and evil. An egoistic struggle to enjoy parent of fragmentary joys and pains and sufferings. These are therefore the inevitable first imprinted characters. So they emerge inevitable, and they are there in the very fabric of existence. They come very far, up to almost the higher mind, they chase man. Though with rational mind, discerning mind, one can begin to beat back the forces of darkness. That's why intelligence is so helpful. Discerning mind. Higher mind onwards, we don't have falsehood. We have ignorance. But an ignorance which is illumined by the truth. That is the difference. Why this is important. But below the rational mind is the critical watershed. Vital mind, physical mind, vital world, it's falsehood in relative degrees. At the material level, it's completely prominent. It begins to get diminished. At the lower vital, it is superactive. It's its field. And as long as we have within us the lower vital forces which are active in their own way without being converted or transformed, we will have those little streams of jets of falsehood in our veins. And that's why when mother was asked, why don't you destroy just asura falsehood? She says, my child, world would collapse. Most of you are drawing energy from that. And one of the classic examples is experientially, when we engage in something which is, later on we realize it was a movement of falsehood or ignorance or evil. Not ignorance, but something which was dark. When suddenly we are going through whatever joy or something, then a time comes, Divine Mother acts on it, it goes. Then there is such a suddenly as if energy has gone. Life impulse has gone away. Go through dryness. It was sustaining us. We didn't realize. We were on a high. We thought, oh, it's so happy. And we were living by that, not realizing that this is not really truth. And when it goes, then, you know, there is that purgatory or the desert through which one passes towards a greater paradise. That's how Shiva speaks of it. So, till that is purified, till that is converted fully, not just in some parts, till then, the supramental world will always be in the making. It is working, it will eventually win the victory, but it's a process. So, last, page 303, two things render that culmination more facile than it would otherwise be. Overmind in the descent towards material creation has originated modifications of itself. Intuition, especially with its penetrative lightnings, flashes of truth, lightening up local points and stretches of country in our consciousness, which can bring the concealed truth of things nearer to our comprehension. So we were not able to see things. We were blinded. Suddenly we are able to see. We are able to see what the truth which is concealed behind the outward phenomena. Why? Because there is the intuitive lightnings. And of course, then one has to begin to change. That's another journey. And by opening ourselves more widely, first in the inner being, and then as a result in the outer surface self, also to the messages of these higher ranges of consciousness, By growing into them, we can become ourselves also intuitive and over-mental beings. This can go to an extent where one is inwardly aware, but in action one is overstepping, going again, crossing that line. Then after some time, even at the action level, it stops. Automatic, like speech. It stops because, you know, it's something which is not in the light of truth. Automatically, because that's how the transformation proceeds. Action, speech, all this automatically begins to take place. So this is one. But secondly, few lines below, overmind, intuition, even supermind, not only must be, as we have seen, principles inherent and involved in the inconscience from which we arise in the evolution and inevitably destined to evolve, but are secretly present, occult actively, with flashes of intuitive emergence in the cosmic activity of mind, life and matter. So this is what the mother first, the pressure from above, a call from below and the grace from above. So the supermind below is pushing things from below, because it is there hidden. God is hidden inside this house of clay. And from above it's putting a pressure, sending intuitive messages. So there are people who are catching it, and from within also it is pressing. And between the two, mankind is being crushed and pulverized to become atta for making chapatis for God. Good. So this is the process. So we don't like it, but it's good for us. It's these descents from above, opening intuitive possibilities, and it's shifting things. Because when we change within, it things shift outside. We don't realize it. We think it's random. It's not random. The inner state determines the circumstances. That's how the mother says. That circumstances, outer circumstances, are clumsy way of something which is taking place within us. And as long as we blame outside, we can add, as long as we complain things outside, as long as we tallow the thing or put it on some God, some destiny, and of course God, we will continue with it. The day we say, okay, fine, let's see inside what is opening the doors. Even to a hostile force, what is opening the doors inside? Then the real game begins. Because there is a pressure from inside to open. We are not hearing. So circumstances are coming, pushing us against the wall. And when we are totally helpless, pushed against the wall, then what can one do? Ma, 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 ma. So, we are being pushed to ultimately, in every field, every sphere, ultimately to give ourselves to the divine. What does one do ultimately? Abandons oneself. Take me, mother, just as I am, a bundle of whatever you know best, and do with it whatever you want it to be. But then not to cry, because she will do things which may be painful to the outer senses, but she will do it. So this is the process, this is the hope. Last line on this page 303, a divine life in the manifestation is then not only possible as the high result and ransom of our present life. My God, a life is that ransom. You know what happens in ransom? The person keeps on blackmailing, increasing the cost. You want divine life? Pay that much tax of night. When you have paid, no, interest rate now. So what is God's plan? He takes a human form, pays God's debt to earth and man. When he comes, he says, okay, he's my child. How much has he paid? He has paid so much, there is so much pending. Okay, take it. Now is the debt paid, wiped off the original score. That's the line in Savitri. That's the difference that the embodied divine makes. He clears the debt. That explains the Shurbindo's physical, toward the later part, the what we foolishly call as illness, the mother's taking upon herself the burden and suffering. That explains why they take upon. Because it's the ransom. What is the ransom? Ignorance says, I am the parent of this fellow. Till yesterday he was behaving to my tune. He was dancing to falsehood. He was listening to evil. He was enjoying the error. Now I'll deliver him to truth. No, 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 no. He is my child. I need to pay me the money. So where will man pay? So the divine comes when there is a sincere aspiration. His time has come for the deliverance. As Shubhendra says, jailed delivery of the imprisoned God. Reminds us of Krishna. For a long time people are suffering. So he goes into Kansa's domain and takes birth there. What a way. Jail delivery of the imprisoned gods. And now that he has come, everything begins to change. So this is the process. But it is inevitable. It is the ransom of our present life in the ignorance. But if these things are as we have seen them, Sri Aurobindo sometimes, look at how he uses the word, we have seen them. See, this we, of course, may not apply to we, but Sri Aurobindo is using the word we, not I have seen them. It's like we, those who are in the privy of the gods, those mystics who have prayed for the intervention and known, and of course Sri Aurobindo holding in himself the destiny of earth, we have seen them. It is the inevitable outcome and consummation of nature's evolutionary endeavor. QED, logically proven. So this is the end of book 1. Chema.